Sorry, now you couldn't have the hurry. Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunda Vihari. Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunda Vihari. Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunda Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrakacharya Asadhara Sadushi Shriman. His Divine Grace, Lacey, Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Agyana Timanandasya, Gyananjana Salakaya, Chaksur Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Ragana Tam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitams Cha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pravanitananda, Shadwaita Gadadhar, Shivastati Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Paranjan. What's the text number? 55. Sa Yarhi Antak Pura Gata Vishuchina Samanvita Moham Prasadam Harsham Va Yati Jaya Atmaja Udbhavam Sayaryantak Pura Gato Vishuchina Samanvita Moham Prasadam Harshamva Yati Jayatma Jodhbhavam Sayaryantakpura gata Vishuchina samanvita Moham prasadam harsham va Yati jayatma jodbhavam Haryantakpura gato Vishuchina samanvita Moham prasadam harsham va Moham Agaram Havan. Ladies, Jaya Jaya Antakpura Gato Pandita Moham Prasadam Harshamva Yati jayat majo bhavam sa hi yarhi when antakpura to his private home gataha used to go vishuchina by the mind samandita accompanied Moham, illusion, prasadam, satisfaction, harsham, happiness, va, or, yati, used to enjoy, jaya, wife, atmaja, children, udbhavam, produced by them. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, in brackets, the mind, who is named Vishuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Please repeat, sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, the mind, who was named Vishuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Purport. According to the Vedic conclusion, oneself is situated within the heart. As stated in the Vedic language, Hridyayam Atma Pratishtita. The self is situated within the heart. In the material condition, however, the spirit soul is covered by the material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and darkness. And within the heart, these three qualities react. For instance, when one is in goodness, one feels happiness. When one is in passion, he feels satisfaction through material enjoyment. And when one is in darkness, he feels bewilderment. All these activities are of the mind, and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling, and willing. When the living entity is encircled by wife, children, and home, he acts on the mental plane. Sometimes he is very happy, and sometimes he is very much satisfied. Sometimes he is not satisfied, and sometimes he is bewildered. Bewilderment is called moha illusion. Illusion by society, friendship, and love, the living entity thinks that his so-called society, friendship, and love, nationality, community, etc., will give him protection. He does not know that after death, he will be thrown into the hands of a very strong material nature that will force him to accept a certain type of body according to his present work. This body may not even be a human being. Thus, Limianti's feelings of security in this life, in the midst of society, wife, and friendship, is nothing but illusion. All living entities encaged in various material bodies are illusion by the present activities of material enjoyment. They forget their real business, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone who is not in Krishna consciousness must be considered to be an illusion. One's so-called feelings of happiness and satisfaction resulting from material things are also illusions. Factually, neither society, friendship, love, nor anything else can save one from the onslaught of the external energy, which is symptomatized by birth, death, old age, and disease. To get even one living entity out of the illusory condition is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Mayame Tam Tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who are surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Therefore, unless one surrenders completely at the lotus feet of Krishna, he cannot get out of the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. So the text again. Siyaryantakpura gato vishuchina samanvita moham prasadam harshamba yati jayatma jodbhavan. Sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, the mind, who was named Vishuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Mom Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gorvani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarane. Here it mentions that the living entity, the soul, is surrounded by a subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego, of which the drama of material existence is chiefly carried out on the mental platform. In other words, the original experience of the soul is in Krishna consciousness. But when the soul becomes covered by the three modes of material nature, therefore he imagines that there is some other existence, namely our present material existence, which is more or less a super sophisticated virtual reality. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was asking about the symptoms of a person who's self-realized. Many places Arjuna asks the same question, but in the 14th chapter he says, Karalingas Tringunane Tai, Atityo Bhavati Prabho, Kimacharya Gutams Chaiva, Kim Guna Ativartite, Tringuna Ativartite. What are the symptoms of a person who's transcended the three modes of material nature? And how does he transcend the three modes of material nature? So Arjuna answered, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Prakasham cha nivrittim cha moham eva cha pandava nivritani kangshiti udasinadvar asino gunayo navichalyate gunavartanti ityevam yovatishtate nengate samadukasakam dvasta samolostrasmakanshana tuya priyapriyodiras tuya nandatna samsuti manapamaniyo tuyas tuya mitrari pakshayo savaramba prityagi gunarti taksuchite. One who doesn't hate illumination, prakasham cha, nivritim cha, or attachment when they appear, nadveshti, sampravritani, or aversion when they appear, remains aloof, knowing that the modes alone are acting and that we're aloof from them. So this is the most important point, that we are not only spiritual souls, but this whole drama of material existence is not really affecting us. Because whether we're a king today, or we're a mosquito, or a Brahma, or the most insignificant ant, we always remain exactly the same spiritual living being. Nothing in the material world actually affects us. Anadivam, nirgunadvat, paramatmayam avyam, sharira stopikontiya na kroti nanalipyate. Those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything, nor is he actually entangled. So the good news is that we're not actually entangled by the material nature. The bad news is that we think we are. The good news is that we're going to live forever. The bad news is we're going to live in hell forever presently. Therefore, this very rare human form of life is especially meant to get away from the material mental platform by reviving our spiritual consciousness. There is a transcendental television in everyone's heart. As Krishna says, sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto matak smritira gyanam apavanam cha. There's a transcendental television in everyone's heart. Unfortunately, in the present material existence, we're simply turned on to the wrong channel. Instead of watching Krishna's pastimes within our heart, and those pastimes don't mean only Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, dancing with the gopis, or playing in the fields of Braj with the cowherd boys. Those pastimes are actually being enacted right before our present eyes. Krishna's pastimes of creation, his maintenance, and ultimately his annihilation of this cosmic creation, they're all being enacted right before our very eyes. Ukramantam siddhim vapi bunjana vagunan vita vimudonanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, nor can they see what kind of body they enjoy under the spell of the modes of material nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. In other words, we're meant to train our eyes so we can actually see what's going on right before us, rather than see some imagination created by the three modes of material nature. Just like, as is mentioned here in this verse, a person in the mode of goodness, he goes to the forest, or let's start with ignorance, he goes to a forest, and all he can do is everywhere he looks, he sees a place to sleep. There's a bunch of leaves here. They'll make a nice bed. And there's a nice bush there I can hide behind. And I can sleep and no one will disturb it. When in passion he goes into the forest, he looks around. Everywhere he thinks of how he's going to make money so he can marry his daughter. So he sees, oh, there's so many trees here. If I cut them down, I can sell them and sell the leaves. And there are some rocks here, and we can build a big apartment houses here in the forest and invite people for nature walks and charge them for them. So everywhere he looks, he sees money. Everything can be converted into money. And one who's in goodness, he smells the flowers, he looks at the birds, he notes all the different varieties of trees, and he feels very satisfied with how he's one with nature. And those who are transcendental, they see in the heart of every tree and every bird, every mosquito, he sees the spiritual soul entrapped by the three modes of material nature, and he chants Hare Krishna to liberate them from this material entanglement. Same forest, same living entities, same human beings, but different vision, different understanding, different activities. One is sleeping, one is cutting trees, one is smelling the flowers, and one is chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, our perfection is not to create a so-called successful material existence. In the mode of ignorance, people think there's a certain success. Just like one in the mode of ignorance, they'll worship Hiranyakashipu, Mahajano Yena Katasapanta. For one in the mode of ignorance, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, they are the Mahajans. For one in passion, Bill Gates or someone like that, they're the Mahajans. We hear from them. We serve their instructions. We try to become like them in so many different ways. For one in the mode of goodness, perhaps some ecologist or environmental friendly person is one's hero or authority. Therefore, everyone has to choose some leader. Everyone has to choose what is their objective in life and therefore follow that to achieve it. So human life is meant to become an instrument for Krishna. Nimitra matram bhavasavasachin. And by becoming an instrument, it doesn't mean that our material life will become so-called successful in the mode of goodness or successful in the mode of passion or successful in the mode of ignorance. It means that whatever situation Krishna puts us into, we'll be in that situation for Krishna. Guru napi vichalyate. Even Krishna puts us in a very difficult situation, still we try to serve Krishna's interests in that circumstance. That is real success. Whether we become like Jatayu and lose the fight against Ravana, or we become like Hanuman and throw the boulders into the ocean and conquer Lanka, still Lord Ram will be equally happy, equally pleased, whether we become Jatayu or Hanuman. When the Pandavas were in the forest, Vishayan, Mahagne, Purushara Darshana, Queen Kunti was praying, Vishan Mahagne, first of all, you saved us from the poison. Bhima was fed poison because he was not very popular with the Kurus. So they wanted to think of some way to kill Bhima. Shri Shri Radharasa Bihari Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nikai Ki Jai. Bhima was always harassing the Kurus. When they were younger, his 100 cousins would accompany with him and they'd go and play somewhere. And the 100 cousins, headed by Duryodhana, would climb into a tree, and Bhima would take the tree and shake the tree, and all the cousins would fall out of the tree and break their arms and legs. Bhima was very playful, but they did not appreciate his playful attitude. So they decided, let us kill Bhima. And they knew how to kill Bhima. They decided to bake a cake for him. Happy birthday, dear Bhima. Happy birthday to you. So they gave Bhima a big cake made out of Kalakuta poison. One drop would kill a normal person. So they said, here's your cake for your birthday. And Bhima said, well, it's not my birthday. But anyhow, take the cake. We know you'll like it. We made it special for you. Well, maybe I should cut a few pieces and share it. No, no. It's all right. We're already full. You can eat the whole cake yourself. So Bhima was known as Rikadhar. So he practically wolfed the cake down, so to speak. Wolf the cake down in American slang. I don't know if anywhere else. It means he ate it very quickly. He devoured the whole cake. And then he said, oh, I feel a little, something in my stomach is not quite right. And his cousin brother said, well, you're in India, you know, that happens sometimes. You get this deli belly, you know. Why don't you take some rest? Not a bad idea. So Bhima was asleep. And all his cousins, they picked him up, and they had one special lake prepared for him, filled up with all kinds of poisonous snakes. And they said, Swaha, goodbye, Bhima. So they threw him into the lake. And all the snakes, they came and bit Bhima. But fortunately, the poison from the snakes counteracted the poison from the Kalakuta, from the birthday cake, and Bhima woke up and killed the snakes. At this time, the servants of Varuna took Bhima down into the ocean, gave him special elixirs that gave him strength of 10,000 elephants, and prepared him for his next stage of association with his dear cousins, the Kurus. So this is not only the only instance in the problems that Bhima and the other Pandavas had with the Kurus. Bhishan Mahagne. Mahagne means they were put into a house, a very nice house in Varanata, and it was set on fire. And they rushed through the tunnel that they had built into the forest. And practically speaking, the only person there to greet them was a man-eating Rakshasa who was hungry, and it was time for his supper. And the Pandavas were on the menu. And life went on after this. There was Brahmastras thrown at them. And at the end, Ashwatthama released personal Brahmastras for each one of the Pandavas, as well as the Pariksha Maharaj. So life was not good for the Pandavas. So what did Queen Kunti pray? My dear Lord, that we were your pure devotees, we were surrendered to you, so why were we put into so much difficulty? Why was our japa time interfered with? Why couldn't you give us a little vacation sometimes? Why one difficulty after another? What would we do? Why is God so cruel to us? What did we do? No, she prayed, Vipadak Shantu Takshasvat Tatra Tatra Jugat Guru Bhavata Darshanam Yatsyad Apana Bhavadarshana. We want to see these calamities again and then again and then again, because when we're in the midst of a calamity, when we're feeling some difficulty, we have no other shelter but you. And because we're taking shelter of you, therefore we'll no longer see birth and death. So when we see, even when there's happiness, one time Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is the happiness in the mode of goodness? And Prabhupada's response was, if you think you're happy in the mode of goodness, then you must be in the mode of ignorance. Because there is no happiness in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness means the absence, relatively, of misery. But the relative absence of misery is not real happiness. Therefore, it is not that we're trying to find a peaceful, happy circumstance, nor are we trying to create a disturbance. Nor do we become disturbed when we're in the midst of disturbance. One time, Srila Prabhupada came to the Vrindavan Temple in 1974, and at that time, I remember I had received an invitation. I was a temple president in Texas, in America, to come for the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. But Prabhupada arrived at the Krishna Balaram Mandir and expecting to see practically a completed temple. But when he arrived, he found a construction site. Nothing was completed at all. And Prabhupada's reaction was he became furious. And Prabhupada was very powerfully fiery when he became furious. He became so furious that no one could even look at his face. They were all fleeing. Everywhere, all the leaders were trying to find some hole to crawl into. And this went on for some time. Finally, Prabhupada went into his quarters that were not even completed. And just like Nrsimha Dev, all the demigods did not want to approach him out of fear they'd get burnt by his effulgence. But finally, some devotees approached him with great trepidation, and Prabhupada was very peacefully sitting at his desk. So Akshayananda Maharaj at that time was the temple president. So he approached Prabhupada and he was very surprised to see how calm Prabhupada was, even after displaying so much fire and fury and anger over the disappointment that the temple was not ready. Prabhupada was especially disturbed because every time he got a report from Vrindavan, oh, Prabhupada, we're almost done, there's no problem for having the opening. And on that basis, Prabhupada sent out invitations all over the world, inviting very important guests from India and from abroad to come to attend the opening of the Krishna Balaram Temple. And now, he would have to send out information that it was not going to be ready for some time. So Prabhupada was furious. So Akshayananda Maharaj approached Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was completely calm and peaceful. So he said that, I'm amazed, Prabhupada, how suddenly you're so peaceful after exhibiting so much fury. So Prabhupada explained that the pure devotee, he's just like the ocean. Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadva kama yam pravishanti sarve se shanti mat noti na kama kami. A person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. On the surface of the ocean, there are so many waves, there are hurricanes, typhoons going on, so many boats are crossing over the ocean. So many things are going on the surface. But deep in the ocean, where all the aquatics are, everything is very calm. So on the surface of someone's life, there may be so much activities going on. But one who's deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they're just like in the midst of a transcendental ocean of devotional activities by which they're not at all disturbed by what's going on the surface. On the other hand, generally speaking, those who are even transcendentalists, they imagine that by devotional service that I'm going to achieve some objective in this material world. But Queen Kunti says that this is all imagination. This is all illusion. This is not the purpose of devotional service. Therefore, she says, Janmaishvaya Shruti Shribir Edamanak Madak Puman Naivahatya Vudatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochara. Those who are hankering, who are expecting for Janma, better Janma. Of course, in this age, people are not so much impressed by your Janma in terms of how they used to. I was born in such and such Gotra, I'm Brahmin or Kshatriya. Now, if you take birth in a powerful country like America, or formerly a powerful country, if your country is like a tiger, rah, 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 powerful, or you get near us and we bite you, rah, rah. People think, oh, such a nice country. Everyone's afraid of them. They bite so easily. So people think, oh, you're American, you're a big tiger. Or we're from India, we're becoming a big tiger. An elephant will stamp you. And Aishwarya wealth. Of course, nowadays people think they have wealth, but actually most of their wealth is just imagination. Prabhupada used to say these plastic cars or metal cars, these computers, these big skyscrapers, people are imagining that's wealth. But actually real wealth is clean air, fresh water, good food, peaceful life, nice, loving, friendly relations with others, freedom from anxiety, security. This is actually material wealth. Not that we are so wealthy, but we have nothing to eat that has any nutritional value, any health value. One time Prabhupada was, well, Trivikra Maharaj was talking to Prabhupada at John Lennon's estate. 1969. And Trivikra Maharaj was glorifying John Lennon and the fact that he was worth at that time 300 million pounds. He has so much money, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, what is the use of his money? He doesn't know how to use it. If you have something, you don't know how to utilize it, what is the value of it? If you have $300 million, and all you can eat is a dead animal from some distant war, then what is the value of such a amount of money? On the other hand, if you're a devotee, you don't have any, you don't even have a paisa, but you're eating prasadam three times a day. You're living in a higher standard of life than even the greatest billionaire on this planet. So clean water, fresh air, nice food, friendly relationships, security, peace, these are all material opulence. Aishvarya, Shruta, material learning, and Shri Bir, material beauty, that these are considered valuable assets, worthwhile. That these are the objectives that people have even when they're performing devotional service. Chatur vidha bhajante imam janasukitina arjuna. People want freedom from anxiety, so they come to the Hare Krishna movement and they become peaceful when they read Prabhupada's books because finally they fall asleep. they read the books and they become very relaxed and their eyes close and everything becomes very peaceful. Just like I mentioned, there was one devotee distributing books at O'Hare International Airport, and he met one gentleman, and he said, "I'd love to read this book and take a copy of it, but I can't because I have insomnia, and when I can't read anything, my mind is too disturbed." So the devotee said, "Perfect. This is the book for you." Because we have a class, and in that class we have every day, we have 50 people listening to this book. And as soon as we read from this book, all the 50 people fall asleep. So the man, he bought the book, he sat down in the airport, he tried to read the book and fell asleep. Freedom from anxiety, wanting some material comfort, wanting some illumination, wanting some liberation, these are already obtained just by becoming a devotee. But if one thinks that this is the goal of life, then madak puman, then one cannot chant Hare Krishna with attention. Because the actual goal of life is somehow or another, yena tena pakarena manak krishna niveshaya, somehow or another, fix the mind upon Krishna. Then automatically all the other rules and regulations will follow. Smart of yaksaratam vishnur vismartak jati na kinchet. If we're in Krishna consciousness, even in the midst of illumination, even in the midst of satisfaction, material satisfaction, even in the midst of material illusion, we won't be disturbed. We'll know that only the modes of material nature are acting and that we're actually aloof from them. And therefore, if we go on with our devotional service in spite of the difficulties, then the result is eventually Krishna becomes pleased enough with us that he reveals himself progressively on and on. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam. What is the mercy that Krishna gives us when he sees that even in great difficulty we're trying to engage ourselves in Krishna's service, then he gives us the intelligence how to do that. When he sees that we're in the midst of great material satisfaction and yet we're still engaged in devotional service, like Sudama Vipra, who got, by Krishna's mercy, a house and an environment even greater than that of the King of Heaven. But because he utilized it in Krishna's service, therefore, although he lived in great material opulence, even after living in great material poverty previously, still he accepted everything as the mercy of Krishna, as Krishna's prasad, and therefore utilized his every existence, everything he had, his body, mind, and words, without any interruption in Krishna's service. And even if one is in great delusion, like Chitrakechu Maharaj, when he became Vrikasura, or Vritrasura, still he was not disturbed, and he went on with his devotional service to Krishna, uninterrupted, so much so that he could even preach to Indra in the middle of a battlefield how to perform devotional service. Then Krishna will give us the intelligence under any circumstance how to remain engaged in Krishna consciousness and in our devotional service. And therefore a devotee need not fear any circumstance because he knows Krishna will always be there to help him become Krishna conscious or be Krishna conscious. Other than that, now we may enjoy our material circumstance. We may be suffering from our material circumstance. We may feel great satisfaction. But without Krishna consciousness, shrama evahi kevalam, they're all on the same platform. Now we're on the top. Now we're on the bottom. Now we're in between. But the real question is, if we're taking shelter of Krishna or not. If we do that, then our life is successful. Therefore, the devotees can go anywhere to everyone under all circumstances and ask them to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And be assured that we're giving the greatest gift. When the residents of Vaikuntha came to take Dhruva Maharaj back to the spiritual world, he did not know what to offer them. He did not know how to praise them. But he simply said, Hare Krishna. He simply chanted the Hare Krishna mantra, and this was completely appropriate. When Dhruva Maharaj was in the midst of great material delusion, being faced with the rakshasas or the yakshas, throwing all kinds of illusions at him, the ocean coming towards him, the rocks falling from the sky, the weapons falling from the sky, the naked demonesses running after him with weapons, the army charging at him. And amidst all this disturbance, simply he chanted Hare Krishna, and it all went away. And he was situated in Krishna consciousness. So this is the greatest gift we have to offer to everyone under all circumstances, and this will make our lives successful and everyone else's life successful too. So, thank you very much. We'll stop there. Any questions? Any comments? Yes, good question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, very nice class, enlightening. Maharaj, my question is that when devotees, myself, I try to render service. When I was serving Maya, I was very happy. But when I enlightened by Krishna consciousness, and then I started serving to Krishna, immediately I got so much difficulty. So I decided to leave this service. So when I decide to leave, again Krishna is putting such a situation that he said, grab that situation. So I took, again I faced difficulty. So why Krishna is, he is giving option, he is giving Dadami Buddhi also. But simultaneously why he is putting again and again and again so much difficulty. So what in that situation he has to do?
Well, the main difficulty, Krishna, is everyone understand the question? Why does Krishna keep the devotees in difficulty? That before when he joined the Hare Krishna movement, he was happy, happy. And then he joined the Hare Krishna movement, and he was put into difficulty. So why? Why, God? Why me? Actually, everyone's in difficulty. Just like the goat, he's eating grass right in front of the slaughterhouse. The other goat has just gone into the slaughterhouse. He's being slaughtered, but he's thinking everything's all right because I'm eating grass. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, nudarshana. Birth, death, old age, and disease. This is our real difficulty. But because we're like a goat eating grass, we think, oh, I have the grass, my stomach's being full, I'm happy. Why so much difficulty? No, we're in the midst of difficulty. People are so much worried about terrorists, they're going to come and kill us. But Krishna says, Kalo smi shaya krit pravrido, lokansa maharta miha pravritak, Ritepi tvam nabhivyu shanti sarve ye vastita pratnyuke shiyoda. Time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds. And I have come to engage all, everyone here. We're all being killed imperceptibly by time. And that time, Krishna says, is me. So Krishna, he's the number one terrorist. He's killing everyone. And no one can stop him. So we become devotees. What happens? We wake up a little bit. We become aware. Those who are in the modes of ignorance and passion, generally they're unconscious of what's going on. And then we become conscious a little bit, and then we start finding out about all the problems we have. We really have. During the spring, or during the winter, they sweep all the dust underneath the carpet. And when it's time for spring cleaning, they pick up the carpet, and all the dust starts flying everywhere. So someone's walking in during the cleaning period, and they may wonder, why are you dirtying the house with all this dust? It was so clean 5 minutes ago. Why did you throw all this dust everywhere? No, we're just discovering all the dust underneath the rug, and now finally we're cleaning it. Finally, we're cleaning our heart, and now we're discovering how many problems there actually are there within. The materialist, on the other hand, he has no problem. Because just like an animal, when an animal sees a dead body on the ground, he immediately devours it. He doesn't think, I am a tiger, here's a poor animal, it may be someone's mother, why should I hurt him? I'll feel guilty about it. I should be a vegetarian, but somehow or another I'm a tiger. It's bad for you, it's harmful. No, he eats the animal. There's no tears in the tiger's eyes afterwards because he's an animal. So nowadays, people have become like animals. They eat, sleep, mate, and defend like animals, and there's absolutely no remorse. There's no conscience about what they're doing. But we become devotees, and immediately there's a conscience. We want to do something, but we know we're not supposed to do it, and therefore we feel guilt by our desire to do it. We feel guilt if we do it. We feel guilt, we feel remorse that we're not doing what we want to do. Therefore, it's painful. Krishna says that in the beginning. Yattaragre vikshami va parinami ritopamam tatsukam satitam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning is bitter like poison, and at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So we can get a little bit of tapasya now, and at the end we can get eternal nectar. Or we can get the so-called happiness of material existence, and then suffer perpetually from it. So that's our choice. Anything else? Yes. Oh, one more question. Quick. She's back there. Raise your hand.
Maharaj, you mentioned that, give this example of somebody going to the forest and person who is in the different modes will see things differently. Somebody who is in mode of goodness would appreciate the fruits, the flowers. Somebody who is in passion would want to make money. And somebody who is a transcendental would see how to engage everything in service of Krishna. Now when one becomes a devotee, when we are chanting, when we are on the path of devotional service, and then when somebody has aspiration that, you know, how I can have more money, let me just be in the temple, I'm getting facilities, and you become lazy, mode of ignorance. Then how does one understand, at that point, are we in the material realm or we are still in the transcendental realm?
How do we understand which realm we're in?
I said, in that case, yeah. When somebody who is a devotee aspires for...
He wants money to use in Krishna's service and... Well, ultimately the test will be if we are in Krishna consciousness or not. The test is if we see everything here as Krishna's property. And therefore, if we're actually taking shelter of Krishna's instructions from Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita and through his representatives in disciple succession. And therefore, making our goal in life to find out what they want us to do and then doing it to please Him, to please Krishna. And then if we do that, then naturally we'll think about Krishna. So if we're thinking about Krishna, if we're actually in Krishna consciousness, if we're seeing things in relation to Krishna, then that's Krishna consciousness. And if while we're doing our activities, we're in anxiety for our own personal benefit or for the benefit of others that are connected to us, then we're in material consciousness. So the test will be whether we're Krishna conscious or not. Is that all right? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.